You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The Canadian Boreal region is over 1,000 kilometers wide. It separates the tundra in the north from the rainforest and the woodland in the south and the west. The boreal is important to many animal species, including the caribou. It is also important to the rural and Aboriginal economies of Canada. Hundreds of cities and towns within its territory derive significant economic activity from the forest. Now, a new agreement has been announced that will significantly affect the lives of those who live in or rely on the forests. The Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement joins environmental groups like Greenpeace with logging companies like Abitibi Bowater. The signatories claim that this agreement will create new solutions for boreal forest conservation. Dawn Paley is an independent journalist and a member of the Vancouver Media Co-op. Her recent article on the Boreal Forest Agreement can be found in the May issue of the Dominion magazine, and she's joined me in the studio to discuss the agreement. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning.
Now, what was the rationale for making this agreement? Why was it deemed necessary?
I can't speak to why the environmental groups and the companies themselves, because I'm not part of either, actually decided to do a deal like this. But it's definitely necessary. We have an expert committee from the Canadian Wildlife Service, which recently recommended that all industrial activity within woodland caribou range should be stopped. So there is certainly a need for to protect the habitat of the woodland caribou, although we'll talk about it later. I don't think that this agreement actually does that.
Let's look first at the logging companies. What kind of holdings do they have in the boreal forest?
Well, there's 21 logging companies that are signatories of the Boreal Forest Agreement. So some of the companies that are logging are not included in this deal. But of the 21 companies, together they form something called FPAC, the Forest Products Association of Canada, and their holdings are about 72 million hectares of boreal forest. That includes over 29 million hectares of woodland caribou range.
Okay, and the environmental groups now, they claim they'll be saving significant portions of these forests, including that threatened caribou habitat. Is that actually the case?
Well, I think that having had a very close look at the 72-page agreement that was leaked to the Vancouver Media Co-op, it actually still isn't fully a public document. But having actually read through the nitty-gritty of it, what it actually looks like is, in fact, that a mere 72,000 hectares of harvesting and road building will be deferred, which means it will be basically moved out of caribou rangelands, so 72,000 hectares, out of what we said was 29 million hectares that are held by these companies. So 72,000 hectares, an area about the city the size of Toronto, will be moved outside of the harvest that was planned inside caribou rangeland and cut in other areas of the boreal forest. And almost 700,000 hectares will still be cut within caribou rangelands. This is an area about the size of the province of Prince Edward Island. So they're actually still going to cut 10 times more forest inside the sensitive caribou habitat than what they're saving. So I think that there's been a lot of spin around this agreement, as if, you know, there's obviously things in the way the agreement was created that are extremely problematic, that were criticized right from the beginning. For example, totally excluding Indigenous people from the process of actually building and deciding on an agreement like this. But then when you actually look at the numbers and you go through it clause by clause, you see that the amount of forests that they're actually saving is saving, quote unquote, because this deal is actually also only a 3-year long agreement, and it actually started last year. So until April 1st, 2012, they're going to move an area the city the size of Toronto outside of caribou lands, but they're still going to log an area the size of PEI within those lands. So I don't think it's as watershed of an agreement as both the environmental groups and the logging companies are claiming.
And what happens after 2012?
We don't know. I mean, the stated goal of the signatories is to take the agreement to governments and to that they're calling it basically an interim measure while governments move to protect caribou habitat. So I think that the final outcome of this is kind of depending, I guess, now on sort of how cynical you are about the government's volition to actually want to protect caribou rangeland, you know, across the country.
I'm having a hard time getting my head around the word deferred, which I think is one of the words which occurs in the agreement. What exactly is going on there? What does that word mean?
What it sounds like, and again, I'm not a lawyer, and this whole document is legalese, but basically they say that the 72,000 hectares of harvesting and road building will be, quote, deferred, and then again, quote, to areas outside of caribou range. And what that deferral, what I take that to mean, is that they will move it to a different part of the forest. And there's also some voluntary deferrals, which say that the company they won't log, you know, pretty large area. But when you look at their business plans, and this is something that the logging companies admit, they were never planning to log that area in the next 3 years anyways. A lot of this land is extremely remote, very difficult to access. It would take a huge capital push to access these forests. So they're claiming a huge amount of forest save, but actually the companies weren't even necessarily planning to cut it later.
So they'll still be doing the same amount of logging. They'll just be doing it at a different place.
That's my understanding.
Okay. Now, I understand that in return for supporting this agreement, Greenpeace and the other organizations involved have had to make significant concessions in terms of public support for the logging companies and their industry. Mm-hmm. How is that supposed to work?
Well, there's all kinds of different ways that this is supposed to work. Some of the groups involved include, you mentioned Greenpeace, there's the David Suzuki Foundation, there's Canadian Parks and Wilderness, and there's a handful of others. They have agreed to, for example, help these logging companies basically market their products as green. Another piece, I'll read a little chunk from the agreement. It says, where an FPAC member, so one of the logging companies, where an FPAC member demonstrates an impediment to selling forest products to a specific customer from the Boreal as a result of past or current advocacy worker communications, ENGOs will communicate with that customer to confirm they are receiving all joint communications related to progress in implementing the CBFA, and that this should be taken into consideration in making procurement decisions. So basically, if, you know, Abitibi Bowwater is trying to sell wood to a client who says, well, you know, I've heard that you've got a bad reputation because of, you know, Greenpeace advocacy work or other complaints, you know, First Nations issues, whatever it is, that company, that client, will then be referred by the logging company to the ENGO, and the ENGO will then say, well, we're working with these people on this deal, and, you know, they've basically said that they will display a continuum of support for the ENGOs, will display a continuum of support for the logging companies, and this includes things from demonstrating support for products to, you know, at the sort of lesser end of the continuum, at the minimum, recognizing the leadership represented by the FPAC companies in agreeing to this type of deal. And then another piece that I find really disturbing as a journalist and as someone who, you know, I rely on the internet a lot for my research, the agreement stipulates that the ENGOs will also review and update their websites. And if there's information that is superseded by the CBFA, or, for example, should Canfor, you know, be on the website of Greenpeace and find a picture or a text about their products and about their practices in the boreal forest that they find objectionable, the signatories will take immediate steps to revise that information. So actually going back through their websites, essentially, and scraping them of evidence of the, you know, long campaigns that have taken place around actually trying to protect the boreal forest.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you mentioned a little earlier that the report has not been fully released. What about the issue of transparency with regard to these negotiations?
There is no transparency. Mm-hmm. There is none. And I think that's one of the sort of main, you know, criticisms of this agreement and of this style of sort of negotiating secretly in boardrooms between, you know, NGOs and corporations. It's something that is wrong. And I think these environmental groups need to be called out on it. And, you know, it's their own members, people who might be listening to this now who are donating to Greenpeace. You know, unless they've seen the agreement posted on the Vancouver Media Co-op, have heard all the great press releases, and of course this sounds like a wonderful thing, but they're not even privy to what's going on. So, you know, it's obviously a really, transparency is one of the key sort of issues here, and it's where they fell down on this one big time.
And related to that issue of transparency, is the consultation process. What did the consultation process look like with people who are living in the affected areas? And I'm thinking in particular of First Nations groups.
As far as we can tell, there might have been some informal discussions, but there really was none. But again, we don't know really how this, for example, what the motivations of this deal are, how exactly it was negotiated, how it was agreed upon, again, because of this lack of transparency. There's simply no information, only the people that were actually negotiating this on behalf of sort of civil society. With the stated intent that's really, sounds really good to a lot of people, actually know what was talked about, behind closed doors.
Have any First Nation groups come out in support of or in opposition to this agreement so far?
There's been a little bit of both. Mostly, what I've seen, but it could be because of the articles I've written and the people have gotten in touch with me and sent me quite a bit of, very loud criticism and condemnation, basically saying these ENGOs do not speak for us, for various Indigenous nations, and people like Clayton Thomas Mueller from the Indigenous Environmental Network have been very critical. But I do believe that there are some large federal funded Indigenous organizations that have also come out in support of the agreement. So
now the Vancouver Media Co-op has procured a copy of a conference call among Greenpeace activists. And there seems to be some disagreement among members as to how this agreement works and how it unfolded. And earlier this year, there was also a lot of disagreement among Greenpeace members with regard to the hiring of Tsibora Burman. Mm-hmm. Do you think that fissures will open up in the mainstream environmental movement if this deal goes through?
This deal, in a way, it has gone through. They've done the big public announcement. The next step is sort of they're going to take it to government. So what we heard on that call, which people can listen to if they go to vancouver.mediacoop.ca, is some of the activists are actually, I think most of them are probably paid staff people within Greenpeace, saying, we were kind of caught off guard by this. We've been working with various Indigenous communities in the boreal forest, and, we've been working with them on various campaigns and initiatives. And we were kind of not expecting, this huge announcement that suddenly Greenpeace had made a deal that, I don't think some of the staff have even seen it because Greenpeace hasn't publicly released it yet. And the staff members who are, out in the community and not working are not the ones negotiating this deal. So I think that there is a fissure. And I do think that there's, it's time for people within Greenpeace and within these other organizations that have really sort of sold out the basic principles of transparency and democracy in the environmental movement really need to take a stand, because being silent, I think, and allowing this deal to just go forward is highly problematic. It really represents the corporatization of as McDonald Stainsby says in an article that I've written for the Vancouver Media Co-op, it's like basically the wholesale corporatization of a once defiant environmental movement.
You mentioned taking a stand. How can people go about doing that, taking a stand against this agreement?
I would suggest for people that are donating to Greenpeace or who have supported Greenpeace or David Suzuki Foundation to start by making a phone call and calling the organization. And even if you like to express a concern or even just start asking them, like, where's the deal? Can I get my hands on a copy of this? And just start, asking questions and trying to hold these organizations accountable. And I think another way is obviously by keeping your ear to the ground and checking out groups like the Indigenous Environmental Network, who are supporting all different frontline struggles where people on the land are defending the forest. Grassy Narrows comes to mind, but those people are still going to need support from. The support from like a wider community will obviously help them in their struggles to protect their territory and the forest. And I think one of the sentiments that's been expressed with relation to the Canadian Boreal Forest Agreement, it's basically that the environmental movement has kind of fallen prey to the divide and conquer tactics of the forest industry, and they simply won't be allies anymore for these frontline communities.
Okay, Dawn, thank you for coming in today and going over this with us today.
Thanks so much.
Dawn Paley is an independent journalist and a member of the Vancouver Media Co-op. Her recent article on the Boreal Forest Agreement can be found in the May issue of the Dominion magazine. You can also hear the Greenpeace conference call in its entirety, which I mentioned earlier, by going to vancouver.mediacoop.ca.